I went to 3 proms. And that's an achievement in itself because, you know, the common wisdom is fat guys shouldn't get to go to any proms. But I actually got to go to 3 different ones. But my first one was just like very, very like Brady Bunch-like, holding hands, little pet kiss, nothing like that. That was like the junior prom one. By the time I got to the senior prom, I was actually had this girl that I was been like, I guess, dating for maybe like 2 or 3 months. And she told me that she always wanted to have sex on prom night. And she was like, I know that sounds like goofy. I know that sounds like lame and cliche, but I really want to do that. And I was like, I can make that happen. Dude, I swear, 3 days, 4 days before prom, I get like this throat infection thing. I don't even know where I got it. And I was fucked up. I mean, I still went to the prom, but I was so fucked up. It's kind of like what you said. I was weak. I could barely move. And then she's like, so are we going to go back to the hotel room? And I booked this hotel and everything. I mean, I'm like, what, 17? And I spent like all the money I saved up for like months. And I'm just like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't power through. And she was so disappointed. So then afterwards, like maybe a week later, I'm like, look, I know I wasn't able to have sex with you on prom night. But, you know, we could pretend it's prom. We can go out to dinner. Nah, she wasn't hearing it. I think we broke up after that.
You should have just laid there in the bed, just like go to town on me.
Yeah, that's true. Out there like coughing up bile. Like, I'm like, look, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, just brown bag me.
Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skit comedy trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show.
And welcome to another episode of You Don't Get the Show. I am J.A. LaRock. I'm here with my man Randy. What's up?
What's up, man? All
right, so today for our show, we got a theme. And I gave it a name and it said, they should have never gave you gamers money. Based off the David Chappelle skit where they changed the gamers with something else. Go look that up if you're curious. Basically today, we're going to be talking about bad microtransactions. Now, ever since the MMO market broke apart with adding games, like when you started out, like you had like Ultima, you had like EverQuest, you had Knights of the Round. But after more games started to come out, they decided to go to the free-to-play model. And then they had microtransactions, and now it's just the lay of the land. You find it all over the place. But there's a difference between buying maybe a horse in a game for $1 or a couple of dollars so you can put some skins on your League of Legends characters. But then it just gets crazy. There's just some items out there that just are like, what the hell? Now, I need your help with this, Randy, because I still haven't played PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. But that seems to be a huge culprit of this because I'm looking at the Steam community market and obviously you can put up something and put a crazy price on it. That doesn't mean people are going to buy it. But I assume you're not going to put something for $600 and you know no one's going to buy it. Like why? Why would you do that? You figure someone's going to buy it. So for instance, there's one here that is a bandana. For $630. The guy has 40 of them. I can see if it's one and it's like some crazy ultimate drop. 40. Could you explain to me why these cost so much?
Okay. So this goes back to essentially when the game came out. As you go playing the game, you get in-game currency. And with the in-game currency, you can purchase these little cases that give you cosmetic items for your character. So right off the bat, he basically said, like they said, anything that you spend money for, all going to be cosmetic. So it's not never going to be like a pay-to-win type of a thing. And everybody was like, okay, cool. So then what was interesting is he said, you'll never have to pay to open these cases, which is funny because then when they did the GamesCon Invitational a couple weeks ago, they came out with a special crate for GamesCon, which you had to pay $2.50 to get a key to unlock it, which it would give you these virtual items. Now, the thing that's really funny about this is, number one, everybody right away, you know, went up in arms saying, like, hey, he went back on saying you'd never have to pay to open these crates, number one. The second thing that was really interesting about it was is when this GameComs Invitational came on is when they added support in the game for you to sell your items on the Steam Marketplace. Now, the thing that was interesting is I've seen many one of the YouTubers that I follow that they actually sat there and had saved up a ton of these monies and then bought a whole bunch of these GameComs crates. And what he found is the cheaper the crate was, the more likely you were to get a common item. So for you to get these like really rare items, like you literally had to have a whole ton of money in game currency, either play a whole ton and save up, or you know, just buy a whole bunch of crates and then open them up and get.
Can you buy in-game currency with real money?
No. So okay. that's a big thing. Like, so the only thing that you had to pay money for now was, hey, you had to pay $2.50 to unlock this crate. Now, the thing that's interesting is supposedly, and I don't know if it's true or not, there's been rumor that he said that, hey, once the game officially launches, you're going to have to pay for keys to open any of the crates, which pissed off a bunch of people. Okay, because from going, hey, you're never going to have to pay to open these crates, to now, yep, you're going to have to pay to open up these crates, it's a big kind of jump in the thing. I mean, granted, it is a business. They have to make money somehow. But when you look at the Steam Marketplace, so like the top-selling thing, the Player Unknown set, it is essentially a crate that has a costume set that Player Unknown himself, he put on his character. Like, he designed, this is how I want my character to look at. So if you look at it, the box that holds all the items is selling for $1,750. And people will buy that shit. That bandana you can only get from that crate. And that's why it's $600-something. So like, it's interesting because these crates that you see here, the ivory uniform, the black school uniform, the blue school, those were all really rare drops. So you would get in the crate an item, and then you had a chance to get one of these crates that had the full outfit set up. So what's interesting is people were sitting there talking about how, like, oh, what I may do is, you know, they had a whole bunch of coins saved up, and they were like, what I may do is sit there and buy a whole bunch of these, like, of these GameComs crates and wait till they're not available anymore, and then sell them. And it's funny because if you sit there and you look at it right now, there's about 80,000 of these crates available on the Steam market. They're only like $2.34. But the thing about it is, if you look at this, you got to pay $2.34 for one crate, then you got to pay $2.50 to unlock that thing and hope that you get something out of it.
Okay, so let me make sure I have this straight, and for anyone watching or listening to this has this straight. If you were to buy that one, the kit, for $1,700 and put on the costumes, it does nothing as far as stats, anything in the game. It's just cosmetic.
It's just cosmetic, right. And it's funny because, well, this is the thing that's funny, is when you sit there and you look at it, like, the thing about the game is you kind of want to survive as long as you can. You know, you do want to get into fights, you do want to kill people, but you do not want to be detected as easily as possible. When you sit there and you look at his costume, against any type of background, no matter how far away, you fucking stick out like a fucking sore thumb against any background. Because the guy wears a black coat with a red bandana, you know, red sneakers, and I think it's like either black or blue jeans. So you're literally a black stick against like a tan background or green background or brown background. Like, it's literally, you see a black little line no matter how far away the person is running. And you can spot people wearing that shit in 2 seconds.
So you pay all this money, you get this outfit, and you're more likely to get killed?
Yeah, you're more likely to get killed. That's the shit that's funny. And it's hilarious because when you look at my character, and I've and all the costume pieces that I have on my character, I've gotten from the free crates. So I have a camouflage jacket, like a forest camouflage jacket over a like gray tank top. And then I have, and it's hilarious because when you look at my character, it's a freaking Chinese woman. So it's the funniest thing ever. And then I have camouflage pants and I wear camouflage shoes. So I literally have had matches where I've crouched down in a bush. And because of the clothes I'm wearing, I've literally had people walk by me and they don't even see me in there. Whereas if I was wearing this like black outfit, they'd start running and go, wait a minute, there's somebody in that bush.
Now, for those that don't know, and like I said, I've been researching, but not this deep, because I want to play and I'm going to eventually buy it because I have more and more friends that are joining in as well. And
buddy, but it is worse than the crack that is World of Warcraft. Once you get that little taste, that's it. That's all I can tell you.
Now, so of course, the most expensive one that we said was that crate, $1,700. Now, they do have items, 3 cents. Like, I'm looking, I sorted it by lowest price. They have, like, combat pants, blue, working boots, like, a whole bunch of stuff, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cents. So, I don't want to make the impression that everything there costs hundreds of dollars. You can, and like you said, there's free stuff that you can get and play just fine. I just always find it amazing to spend that kind of money. Because, I mean, look, obviously, I'm not rich, but I could imagine, like, for instance, they had the Powerball. It was like 540 something million. One person won that motherfucker. Even if I had that much money, I couldn't buy that. I still couldn't buy it. Because you know what would happen? I guess that's because of how I was raised or all that, or not having money. $1,700, I would just think of everything else I could do with it. And I understand that maybe you get to a point where you have so much money, it doesn't matter. But here's the caveat to that. If you have so much money, you probably aren't playing these kind of games. You're probably out on boats or something. Yeah, you'll probably still play games for a little bit. But you're not so deep into a game that you're buying $1,700 outfits. So these are probably working people. Maybe they have a really good job and a lot of disposable income. But still, these are people that have to go to work every day. And they're buying bandanas and trench coats for $300, $400, $500, $600. I don't get it, man. I thought buying ships for like $1,000 in what's his face was crazy.
World of the Warships?
No, in Star Citizen.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, when I saw that, like, and at least in some of those ships, you can put in like 40 people, and I saw it was maybe like 20, 30 people bought it, but still, you're talking about a ship that's $1,000. I mean, I sold my original EverQuest account, which I think my character was level 60, was a cleric. Decent gear, raid gear. I sold it back then. This was like, man, 2010 maybe? I sold it for like $700. I ended up buying my first big screen TV with it. And even I was amazed back then because a friend of mine, Danny, he sold his account because his account had like ruby breastplate and stuff like that. And if you know EverQuest, that was like the shit. It was like one of the few items that had regen on it. And he sold his account for like $1,500 or something. I mean, he went on a vacation with that shit.
I will say this, man. I had to give y'all fucking props for the amount of man hours y'all spent playing that game. Because I remember fucking getting to level 13 as a druid. And I was dying to fucking get to 14 because I would get the fucking Spirit of the Wolf spell. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to start making money. And I sat down one day and fucking played for 8 fucking hours. And I went from 13 to 14, and I'm like, yo, it took me 8 hours to go from 13 to 14. Y'all motherfuckers were at level 50 and shit. I was like, God damn, they must have been on that thing for weeks. That, and let me tell you, I still will say one of the worst experiences in Red Eye was that fucking Red Eye where we had internet, and y'all motherfuckers sat there for 2.5 hours waiting for that one stupid dragon to spawn. So y'all could kill it and get that one fucking rare drop or whatever it was.
In our defense, we did that on Sunday. Okay, so for...
No, that was fucking Saturday. Don't give me that Sunday.
It was Sunday.
It was Saturday at fucking 2 in the afternoon. I will never forget that shit because we were all sitting around going like, well, what the fuck are we going to play if three quarters of the land is fucking playing EverQuest?
For those that don't know, Red Eye was a thing that, a LAN party back in the day that we used to go to, and it would be, sometimes it would be Friday and Saturday. Sometimes it would go from Friday all the way to Sunday. If it was a holiday, like for instance, we're doing this on Labor Day, it would go from Friday right after work till Monday. So imagine that. And yeah. And people claimed they went home and took showers, but we did spell tests and a lot of them didn't.
No, that was, I remember that was, I think after a couple of those like kind of summer days at the warehouse, that became rule number one fucking right away. You had those fucking people that after like a day and a half, it was like, what the fuck? And then like, you kind of do the whole, and like, yeah, y'all, you need to go and take a shower.
And consider this. Okay. You don't automatically smell after a day of not showering, unless you're out there like, I don't know, chopping woods, or, you know, wood or something. If you're in an air conditioned area where we were really good air conditioning, you're sitting down, you're not going to be stinking by day two. So if you are, you already had a buildup, a stank in reserve.
Yeah. It was one of those. It would take two and a half days. Like if you had showered right before you got there, you know, like you had a good two and a half day, and you could actually push it to three if at least you had deodorant that you could reapply in between, you know. But I like the thing that cracks me up. Like I remember the warehouse, we had really great AC. And I remember when we started doing it at the Hollywood Police Department, really good AC there. And I remember that was like, as soon as we walked in, fucking Alex was like, no stink. You stink, you're out. We'll throw your shit outside. Like, I'll never forget that. Those were the fun days. Those are the red eyes where you fucking slept where you fell. I remember that.
Yeah, seriously. It's funny. Some of these other transactions, like... In the Saboteur, you can pay for boobs.
Yeah, that was funny as hell.
I was like, I mean, well, a lot of people pay for boobs. I don't even understand strip clubs. I remember the first time I went to a strip club, I was 18, and it was one of those ones where they don't take off everything because you have to be 21 to go to those. So these are the ones where they would strip down to like bra and panties. And consider, I live in Miami. I see that everywhere. That's every day. Hot, sexy girls. You want a strip club for 18-year-olds? Just go to Miami Beach. Not South Beach, because that's, ugh. Go, like, to Hollywood Beach or something. They're just walking up and down the boardwalk, just out there. I mean, beautiful. All types of girls. White, black, Hispanic. Everything you want. It's a smorgasbord. But, yeah, so in this game, you basically can pay a download content called The Midnight Show. And it offered, like, they had brothels in this game because this was like during the war, World War II themed action game. So you could buy these extra brothels where they had strippers that were topless and all that stuff like that. But that's basically, I love the picture though. It's like a whole bunch of SS soldiers watching this stripper. It kind of reminds me of something out of Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so. I mean, this is EA, so they know what they're doing. And they know how our gamers are. So I'm sure – I got to find out the numbers for this, but I know a lot of people bought it. Another one that was just really stupid was in The Godfather, you could buy Snookies here.
No, that was a Xbox item.
Oh, it was?
Your avatar, yeah. Looking through this list of the PC gaming one, the 10 most dubious in-game purchases –
yeah.
Fucking third one or fourth one in the hunting licenses.
Yes.
So I only know about this and I'm like, yep, is because I had my best friend, which went to Red Eye, you remember him, so, Roger, he started playing this. And he was like, oh, you ought to play and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what, I used to enjoy back in the day the old Cabela's, you know, like Deer Hunter or whatever. Like it was cool to like see if you could actually, you know, do it. Which I will say that like, those games were like as close to actually going out into a fucking forest and trying to hunt a deer because you had to be quiet. You had to put, you know, mask your scent. You had to do everything you did in real life. The Hunter is similar to that. Now, the funny thing is, it's like the game's free to play. Yes, it is. But they fucking sit there and they go, okay, here you go. Here's your character. Here's a hunting rifle. You get unlimited ammo. But you can only hunt rabbits. So that's the thing that's funny. Oh, okay, I can hunt rabbits. All right, cool. Oh, look, a deer. I think they give you, like, unlimited rabbits and unlimited of, like, one specific deer. So you're going out. Oh, look, a deer. You go to freaking pull on it. You go to pull the trigger. It says, oh, no, you don't have the license to shoot that animal. So then you have to go. So this is the funny thing. The thing about that game that made me laugh, and this is what I used to joke around him about. I'm like, yo, they ought to not call this shit the Hunter. They ought to call this thing like Hiking Simulator, because you will literally spend 45 fucking minutes walking from the fucking main lodge out to where you could just see a deer and hope that it's one of the ones that you could shoot. Oh, wait, I don't have the license. Let me go get that license. All right, 45-minute walk back to the lodge to buy this license. This is where they get you. You have to pay for the license. Okay, cool. Oh, but you can't use the gun you're using. You have to use a specific gun. Okay, now more money for the gun. Oh, wait, but it doesn't take the ammo that we give you free one. All right, you got to now buy ammo. The crazy shit about it is they'll actually also have, like, packages that you can get that it's like, oh, you can get exit, like, the list. Like, these are all the guns that you'll permanently have access to with all this ammunition and blah, blah, blah. So the thing that's hilarious is he really got into this game. And when I tell you he really got into this game, he starts telling me, oh, yeah, I got this and I got that and blah, 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 and I paid for this and I paid for that. And I'm like, okay, okay. And I start looking through the shop and start calculating out how much he's paid. And he's like, I go, do you realize how much you've sunk into this game, right? And he's like, oh, no, not that much. I'm like, I've calculated it up. It's like $300. He's like, nah. And I'm like, calculate it up. Add it all up. You've spent over $300 on this fucking hiking simulator. He's like, you ought to get on. I'm like, I'm not dropping a single dime on this shit. I'm sorry.
It's funny.
I'm like, charge me $40 and then give me everything. Okay, no problem. But I am not going to microtransaction that shit.
Yeah, it's crazy because I've talked about this before. One of the smartest things that they decided, and this, well, I'm not 100% sure, but from what I read, this came from the music industry. Way back in the day when CDs came out, there was this discussion because they were like anywhere from the cheapest one was like $14 up to like $18 for a CD. And before that, you were buying cassette tapes for like $9, $10, something like that. And people started noticing that it was dropping off. Music, of course, obviously still big, but it was dropping off a little bit. So they're like, what can we do? And as computers became more prevalent and MP3s came out, they're like, hey, we'll offer you to buy these tracks. And at first they were really scared. They tried to offer tracks that actually weren't that popular because they were thinking you'd lose money if you put a popular song up there. Like, let's say Drake, his famous song, you put a song up there. No, you'd get like the song that's maybe he didn't like that much, hoping that you'll buy that, then buy the album so you can get the big song. Well, what they found out was, if you charge $17, people are hesitant. They're like, I don't know if I really want to buy it. Do I like all the songs on this artist? You put them 99 cents, someone starts clicking. 99, 99, 99, 99. Next thing you know, you spent more. Because let's say there's 19 tracks, you probably could have waited and got the CD on sale for like $14.99. You paid $19 for each track. And that's how they get you, because you don't even realize you're doing. An example of that for me, World of Warcraft, there was a point where I had so many good friends playing on different servers. And then somebody would drop off. You know, back in the day, you had people, I'm quitting, wow, I'm never coming back. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, great. I have no friends on this server. I'd pay, what was it, like $25 to switch over. Then they come back, and then the other ones are leaving, or they're getting married or something. They're quit. Then I have to transfer back. I look back to my thing, like maybe like 2 years later when I was really quitting WoW. I looked back, and I'm like, I had spent almost $200 in transfers. And I'm like, holy shit. I can't believe I did that, man. That's how they get you with these microtransactions. Because it turns into macro pain.
Oh, yeah. No. So when I sat there and I told you about we have to talk about something serious.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I've been following this for a bit. And the more that this comes out, the more me as a gamer, I get upset, and it's fucking wrong that this company is doing. And I'll start off the premise as this. I'm pretty sure you've played it. I own it on both my PS4 and my PC. Shadow of Mordor.
Yes.
Okay? Really great game. it's a fucking pain in the ass to kill those fucking lieutenants. Because I realized, playing on PC, that you have to fucking, like, they regenerate their health if you let them run around a bit. But their upcoming game, Shadow of War. They first announced it, everybody got excited for it. I was even like, this is kind of cool. When I saw some of the gameplay, I'm like, it's interesting the way that they're going about it, but okay. And then a couple of months ago, they had that live stream that they're like, we're going to announce more stuff. And what's the first thing that they announced? We're going to have loot boxes in the game. Mm. And then they sat there and said, oh. And this is what's funny, is they use the typical line that they always want to use when they want to make it seem that microtransactions are not bad. Well, you can sit there and unlock everything in the loot boxes without spending 1 cent. Yes, but if I have to spend 10 hours playing to unlock a loot box that I can pay $2 for, guess what? A lot of people are lazy. They're going to pay the $2. But now here's the kicker. So at first they said, oh, it'll be stuff for skins and epic items that you can equip in your stuff that'll help you with your single player. Okay, now you've essentially turned the game into a pay-to-win game, even if it's single player. Even if it's single player. So people were like, well, it's kind of stupid that they're doing that, but okay, whatever. But now then, more information started leaking out. What's the new information is like, hey, in the game, as you go getting these orc lieutenants and all that, there's going to be a little multiplayer element to it where you're going to have your keep and you're going to actually put these orc captains and all that in your keep. Problem with that is if another player attacks your keep and they kill your orc guys, guess what? They're dead. You're not getting them back. But guess what you can sit there and do? You can buy loot boxes to get epic orc champions to defend your keep. So now they're sitting there and everybody starts kind of like, okay, so now you've essentially not only turned it into a pay-to-win for the single player, now you're turning it into a pay-to-win on the multiplayer side.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting there at this point going, okay, this is obviously not the developers. This is WB who's producing it, that's pushing this. And for shame that the developers are going along with it because Lord knows what contract they've signed. Now, the thing with that, once I've heard this point of it, I'm like, you know what? I'm not buying this game. I'm going to speak with my wallet. I don't plan on buying Shadow of War, even if it's on sale. They're not going to get a dime from me. And then, literally a couple of days ago, something came out, and it kind of hit close to home with me because of what it dealt with, and it is one of the most lowball, shameful things I've ever heard any company do. So the head producer for the game recently passed away. And he passed away because he got diagnosed with cancer and he lost his battle. And that's the part that kind of hits home to me because my mom passed away from cancer. It is not an easy disease to see somebody go through, and it is horrible what they have to go through. So what does WB do? Hey, we're going to release a day one DLC of a character that is named, it's like special orc character that's specially named in this producer's or developer's name. And they sat there and they kind of caveated on, it's a $5 thing. They said, hey, $3.50 of your purchase is going to go to the actual family. Which when you sit there and you hear that, sounds like, oh, that's really nice that they're sitting there and doing it. But here's the big thing about it. If you sit there and you think about it, WB's still getting $1.50 of that. If they really want to be the heroes, they will give the whole $5 to the family. That's number one. Number two, in the trailer video that it shows, at the bottom of the trailer video, in font so small, you literally have to pause it and fucking zoom in to view. They basically said, only the donations from the United States will go towards the family. So that means any gamers in Canada, Europe, Japan, Australia, if they buy this $5, guess what? WB gets the whole $5, not the family.
Any explanation of why?
No. That's the funny thing. On top of that, when you also look at this fine print, it says also, within the United States, all states except, and they list five states, it's like Massachusetts, North Carolina, there's like a couple of them there if you look at the trend. The donations, the $5 goes to the WB, not to... not the $3.50 to the family and the $1.50 to the WB. as soon as I saw this, and I will link you a video that Total Biscuit did. Like, as soon as I saw this video, I sat there and I was like, I cannot believe that the WB has the audacity to do something like that, to prey on what this family is going through to make money off of it. Now, it sat there and drove me. I said, okay, like, before I said I would not give my money to WB in buying Shadow War, I was like, you know what? I'll wait till that shit comes down to like $20 and I'll buy it. At this point, I would literally go to the Pirate Bay and I will pirate that fucking game because they're not going to get a single dime of my money. Because gamers, us as gamers, we need to put our foot down that this type of shit will not go. And we need to speak with our wallets. I am hoping beyond hope that this game, when it comes out, flops so bad that the WB looks back and goes, okay, maybe we shouldn't have done that shit. Because it has gotten to a point where these companies are trying to keep, they're keeping on pushing the line to see what they can get away with. And if you sit there and you look at it, we went from way back in the day to, hey, you paid $60, you got an entire fucking game for $60, and a couple months later, you got DLC packs. Now they're literally paying, we're paying $60, we're getting a not completed game. Day one, we're getting DLC for $15, and then they're coming out with DLC after the fact.
Hell, the game is broken, and they're talking about 2-3 DLCs that they'll be coming down the pike. You're like, fix your shit first.
Yeah. So it's getting to a point where it's getting ridiculous. And I mean, this is something that we need to, as gamers, step up and say no more. Like, no more whatsoever. We're not going to sit there and pay for games like this. We're not going to buy DLC that you're putting it under the premise of, like, but these people will get money. No. You're freaking preying on a family's tragedy to make money for your company. That is not right. And we need to, like, as gamers in general, we need to fucking step up and say, nope, not going to happen.
I think that we need a new segment called Randy's Rant.
You know what grinds my gears? Oh, I swear, if I find that video, man, because, like, dude, Total Biscuit was on it. And the thing about Total Biscuit is, like, you would think, fucking Total Biscuit's the type of guy that he's kind of like Jim Sterling, where he's like, all right, whatever, da-da-da. Like, he has his way of doing things, and some people like him and some people don't. But, dude, like, the thing that Total Biscuit makes a really great point about it, he's like, dude, I'm a person that right now I'm battling cancer, and this ain't right. You know? And it's true. You should not fucking prey on a family's tragedy to make money for your company, man. That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's jacked up.
Yeah. I linked you the video of Total Biscuit, his rant on it.
You brought me down, man. See, I had all this anger. Yeah. Now I'm sad. That's it. We're canceling the show now.
Yeah, we had to fucking say it. That's it.
No. It's true, man. I mean, look, if you want to make change, that's how you do it, man. People will listen to you if you vote with your dollars, but yeah. You got to do it. You can't just talk and complain on message boards because, trust me, I worked for game companies. I've worked for computer companies. They don't care. Not anymore. Back in the day when you used to post a message on a message board or Twitter or something, people would care. Nowadays, it's like, nah, yeah. they just expect it.
Dude, it's the whole reasoning when you sit there and you look at it. They fucking come out with Call of Duty every single fucking year, and you have people that complain and complain and complain, but never gets addressed. Why? Because millions of people are buying the game. They're like, fuck it. It made millions of dollars. We're cool.
Yeah.
But the game's broken. We don't care. We'll fix it next year when we come out with the next new Call of Duty.
All right, so to liven things up, now we have a new show, Clickbait Countdown, which we took the clickbait segment from this show and made it into its own show because y'all like that shit. So because of that,
man. We need the views.
That's right. Because of that, it left a gap in our show here. So we have a new segment called Totally Not a Clickbait Segment. And we have a game here that I found, and at first when I saw it, I just saw the headline. The game is called Panty Party. So when you think about that, what do you think of? You think of like those old 80s, well, more 80s kind of softcore porn. And it's always like some sorority girls and they're having a sleepover or something and they're wearing like, you know, lingerie and all that. No, that's not what this is. This one, you actually have panties, actual panties fighting against each other. Wait. It's on Steam for $10. I think it's funny because they have the thing about no nudity, no pornography, but panties battling each other. That's fine. And it's like, it's just crazy. You just gotta see it. I mean, it's like you fight people with feminine undergarments. Basically, you play as a schoolgirl blessed with the power to transform into any pair of panties. Blessed? I don't know if I'd use the word blessed because, if I could turn into a pair of panties.
Buddy, this isn't any different than, what was it, the genital jousting.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit more direct. This is like, but basically when this schoolgirl transforms, you have phenomenal fighting abilities like lasers and a magic sword that you can use to beat other people.
That's hilarious.
So, a sword and lasers. It's hard enough to get to see a woman's panties, but if they have swords and lasers as well, I might as well just chop my dick off. I mean, I'm looking at some of these screenshots, and it's the funny thing is, it's like 3D. It kind of looks like the virtual fighter type of graphics. I mean, a little bit better, but it's kind of like that. And you have all types of things that you can learn, different moves, different combos. You run around. I mean, it's whimsical. It's funny. But you're still battling panties. I like one of the panties in the picture. It almost looks like the pedo bear on it, except he has, like, demon eyes. I don't get it. But, yeah. Panty party is a real thing. And I don't know. Maybe I should buy it just so I could, like, you know.
Research purposes.
Yeah, you know. I mean, yeah. It's fast-paced. You're, like, running around, like, in the gameplay. Like, you're running around. You can, like, do strafes. There could be, like, extra more panties fighting against each other. I just imagine this in Japan. Like, you're walking down the street, and you're expecting to see, like, you know, crouching tiger, hitting dragon, people flying around trees. Instead, no, it's floating panties battling in the park. And it has good reviews, man. It was released in January. Mostly positive. 21 reviews. Very positive overall. 358 reviews. So I don't know if it's just because of the panties. I mean, people here say the gameplay is really good.
That's funny.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But
that's freaking hilarious.
Yeah. Panty fighting. I just don't know what's going to be next.
I don't know, yeah. We've got through genital jousting. Now we got panties fighting. What's next?
Maybe that's the evolution. First you start off with the panties, and then comes the genital jousting. That's how it works in real life.
That's true. What's next? We're going to freaking play a game that you play the life of a sperm or something.
Well, they actually had a game like that.
Did they?
Yeah, it was kind of like Spore, but it was a sperm instead. I got to look that up. Maybe we'll do that next time.
That's funny.
All right, so that's our show. We'll be back very soon with more from You Don't Get the Show because we got to do these more. I know you guys like it. And we're gonna make sure to give you a lot more content coming up. But if you like what you see, please subscribe, click that thumbs up button, leave a comment. We need to hear from you guys so we know what you like, what you don't. All right. Until next time, I'm Jay LaRock. He's Randy.
Peace.